Let's turn to Ecclesiastes this morning, if I can find my notes. I think it's Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9. We'll get right into the Bible this morning. In Ecclesiastes, maybe we could say our passage for the day. No, it's not. It's not. It's a passage, or a passage that we'll turn to is in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9. An interesting and helpful scripture and truism that we sometimes refer to. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9, the first sentence there simply says, two are better than one. Two are better than one. I'd like to stop there and give that phrase some thought. Two are better than one. We can probably all think of circumstances we've encountered where that's the case, right? How many times have we been doing something and say, well, if I just had another set of hands, this would be a lot easier. Oftentimes that happens, that if I just had, you know, so two are better than one, aren't they? The first thing, of course, the person that probably comes to mind for many of us is that of our spouse, isn't it? That two are better than one. I've been blessed, of course, with a wonderful wife, and I can tell you, from my perspective, two are better than one. Two are better than one. It's better oftentimes to have her there to help me with things, and she fills in many of the gaps, and I have multiple huge voids and gaps, and she fills those things in oftentimes and helps me see things, helps me with perspectives, helps me, reminds me of things that I need reminded of. And two are better than one. Sometimes there are things around the house that I won't do unless she's there. I'm one of those weird people that go up on my roof and blow the leaves off my roof. I have a fairly shallow pitched roof, and things collect, and I don't like them up there when they collect my leaves and things. So I take my little blower, and my neighbors look at me kind of weird, and I go up and blow the roof off, or blow the leaves out of the gutters sometimes, and especially in the spring and fall. But I won't do that typically. That she knows. No, I'm kidding. I won't do that typically if she's not there. And the reason is, if something happened and I fell off, and it happened, those things happen to people. I had a neighbor one time, a number of years ago, an older gentleman, not that I'm older, but an older gentleman that was up on his roof blowing off and cleaning out his gutters, and he was, I think, in his 80s at the time, and he fell off and broke his neck, and it probably cost him years of his life. He lived a few years, but he died. He was a very strong 80-year-old man, and it made him old. And he died a few years later. And so those things happen. So those are typical. There are things that we probably have that we don't do unless we do them together. Unless she's there helping. Unless she's there watching and helping. And so it is with us, isn't it, brethren? So it is with us. It's good for us to be together, isn't it? For us to do things together. We have families, and we have people that we depend on, and things we do together with people. But it's good for us as brethren to be together as well. To be together, too, are better than one. It's been kind of strange over the last year, how things have been separated and you know, social distancing, and you can't, you know, you go to the store and you got the little X's on the floor and you're not allowed to get, you have to stand on your X, and until that person in front moves off their X, you can't move to their X, and we've kind of been separated as a nation, as a world, and it's affected us as well. We've had to do some social distancing and try to keep ourselves separated here at services, and there were times when we didn't get together for services. And we were in our homes keeping services. And we see, and we, you know, if you watch sporting events, you know, last summer the stadiums were empty. This summer there are some fans, and some of them they allow to fill, and some states don't allow as many people in. But it was kind of strange to watch a baseball game, and all that were there were players wearing masks. Kind of strange, wasn't it? Kind of different to see those kind of things. You know, when I was in my teens, I remember one time going to a movie theater, and I went with a buddy of mine, and we were the only two in the theater, just the two of us, watching, you know, this movie. And it's kind of strange when nobody's around, when we're not around. So it's good to be able to be together, to be able to get together for things, isn't it? You know, what if we came here today and we were the only person here? Wouldn't that be kind of strange for us if we were the only person here? It's good to be together, isn't it? It's good to be together. You know, again, last year, that was the case for us. You know, for, several months, we sat in our homes. Now, Beth and I were fortunate because there were two of us. There were some here who sat in their homes by themselves on the Sabbath day. God didn't intend that. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But God didn't intend that. But it would be strange if we hadn't spent the Sabbath alone. So, you know, we're fortunate that we have the technology we have to be able to have and listen to the services when, you know, the pandemic happened, and we got a very fine messages every Sabbath, maybe several. I know some of us, and at times we did, listen to sometimes two and three messages. You know, these days you can listen to services from New Zealand on a Friday night, from Mr. Von Belkum. You can, if we have morning services, you can go home this afternoon and listen to a service from a variety of places: Louisville, Kentucky, Akron, Canton, Pittsburgh, a variety of places at probably 2 or 2:30. Then at 4:30 or 5:30, you can listen to services from Colorado, and I think it might even go as far west. I'm not sure if Mr. Pinelli is on in Portland, Oregon. He is on. We don't usually go that late, but we've listened to Mr. Sargent, used to be Mr. Neff there in Colorado, and then sometimes we listen to Mr. Sargent at, I think that's about 4:30, maybe even 5:30 in the afternoon. So you can listen to four or five services in a day. It's a wonderful blessing, but it's nothing. There's nothing like us being together, is there? Nothing like us being together. So God, Satan has attempted to keep us separated, but we want to be together, don't we? You know, we can't do things. There's something missing when we're not together, when we can't be together for Sabbath services. There's just something special about us being able to be together for that, be together for Sabbath services, and we need that. We need that. And it's enjoyable for us to be able to have snackies, isn't it? And to have those things and to enjoy those things together. So we need to be together. We need to fellowship. We need to fellowship. What does it mean to fellowship? How would you define that? provide some definition for that in a little bit. Let's turn first of all and look at a couple of other scriptures in regard to the subject. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. God intended for us to be together on His Sabbath day. Makes that very clear in several places in Scripture, and we'll look at a couple of those here as we begin the message. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." And we like that, don't we? We enjoy that. I know that Beth and I do. We enjoy being together with all of you, being together on God's Sabbath day. I think it's important that we are, that we're together. So we're together here and of one accord. We all have the same thought process in terms spiritually, not always physically, but certainly spiritually. And we are of one accord, and we're in one place. Turn to back a few chapters to chapter 16 while we're in the book of Acts. We'll cover this as well. Acts chapter 16 and verse 13. Acts chapter 16 and verse 13. Here we see the example of Paul and Silas, and I think maybe Timothy if we read through this section of Scripture. But in verse 13 it says, "And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made and sat down and spoke to the women who met there." Now, I'm not going to talk about specifically, you know, what this was all about, except to mention that it was on the Sabbath day. And they were together and they were visiting. They spoke to the women. They were visiting together. They were together on God's Sabbath day. That's important for us, isn't it? It's important for us to be together and to visit and to speak to one another, to have conversation. Those are important things. Leviticus chapter 23. Let's go back to the book of Leviticus in chapter 23 and look at a specific instruction here. Of course, we'll be going through, Mr. Franks mentioned in accord, if you listen to that, that a Feast of Tabernacles is only, 10 weeks away, I think he said. 10 weeks. Now, and he said it's going to go like a blur, and it will. We all know that that's that period of time. We are now in the middle of summer, right? July, middle of summer, and it'll go very quickly now. And it's been going very quickly. We enjoy summer, of course, and it's going to go by very quickly. A lot of activity, a lot of things going on in our lives that we plan for these summer weeks. And it'll go by very quickly, and before we know it, it'll be middle of September, and we'll be at the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, we all look forward to that as well, but we do enjoy the summer. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 3 says, 6 days. We know the scripture well because, again, it's a chapter that we turn to in the spring, summer, fall as we go through the holy days. But in verse 3 it says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation, a holy convocation, a sacred assembly, you know, a public meeting. It's not to be in our homes. Now, again, that's a wonderful blessing. You know, there are times when we are ill or for whatever reason we may not be able to come to services, and it's a wonderful blessing for us to have those things available these days. You know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, it wasn't like that. You missed the Sabbath day. You typically were reading some materials, and then we have a lot of materials to read, or you were, you know, maybe going over some old notes or something. But now we can tune into a service almost like we're there. But God said here that it is a Sabbath is a holy convocation, a sacred assembly. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. But, you know, we gather together, don't we, on God's Sabbath day and God's holy days. We gather together. It's a gathering time, and we gather together. So it is. So, brethren, we need to get together and to fellowship. Need to get together and to fellowship. The title of the sermon today is The Importance of Fellowship. The importance of fellowship. It's important for us to get together and to fellowship. To be together as a group. One place, you know, one accord, holy convocations on God's Sabbath day, and at other times, as we'll talk about in a little bit. I mentioned, you know, a definition of fellowship. How would you define it? How would you define fellowship? You know, according to Webster's dictionary, it says companionship or company or a community of interest. That would be kind of describing us a little bit, isn't it? A community of interest or a feeling or experience. The state of being a fellow or associate. A company of equals. A quality or state of being comradely. I thought that was an interesting definition. A quality or state of being comradely. We're comrades, aren't we? You and I. All of us. We're comrades. And we face a lot of things together. And we share a lot of things together, and we're comrades. The Greek word means sharing in common. A sharing in common, or communicate, or to be a partaker or a partner. I kind of like that definition, to be a partaker or a partner. Fellowshipping is kind of a Christian concept. It's a concept that we talk about and have. It's kind of a Christian concept. We don't usually refer to gathering together with our neighbors to fellowship, except I do, because I have a neighbor that's here. But, you know, we've talked about who is your neighbor, and we're all neighbors to one another, of course. We don't usually refer to, in the classic sense of, we're going to go down to the neighbors and fellowship, do we? We don't usually refer to that. Or, you know, we have family reunions. A few months, 4th of July weekend, we had a family reunion. It's a wonderful time for our family and cousins and second cousins and to get together and to see people that you don't often see. And it was a wonderful day. We really enjoyed it. We don't think of going there to fellowship. Do we? We don't think of going there to fellowship. So we fellowship because we're partakers. We're partners. We communicate. We share things we have in common. And we have a very important thing in common. We have a very important thing in common. So fellowship is a lot more than just being a friend or a cousin, or a neighbor. A lot more than that. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And we'll read several scriptures here in this chapter. 1 John 1 and verse 3. 1 John there, right at the end of the New Testament. 1 John 1 and verse 3 says, "That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, truly, Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, remember that it has to do with sharing in common, sharing things in common, communicating, being a partaker or a partner, being partners. Our fellowship, Jesus Christ considers Himself our partner. Our partner, we're partakers with Him. So truly our fellowship is with the Father and with Jesus Christ. How's that going? How's that going? That's why, you know, so many times in our speaking, we talk about the importance of prayer and the importance of Bible study and the importance of meditation and fasting and those tools and fellowshipping, another tool. I know Mr. Johnson has mentioned that in one of his messages, that that as a tool, fellowshipping is a tool, one of the tools of Christianity. And certainly it is. So we have those tools, but, you know, prayer and Bible study, you know, are very important, especially as it relates to, here as it says, truly our fellowship, our communication, our sharing in common, partnership is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's drop down to verse 5. It says, "This is the message which you have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth." So we need to make sure we're not walking in darkness if we're going to have fellowship with Him, with God, and with Jesus Christ. We, of course, need to walk in light, don't we? We need to walk in light. And verse 7 then says, "But if we walk in light, as He, Jesus Christ, is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another." We have fellowship with one another. If we walk in that light, you know, the bond of our partnership, bond of your and my partnership, your and us fellowshipping, or our partnership, is the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. And that's why we fellowship, and we can have deep and meaningful fellowship because of the Spirit, because we have God's Spirit, and we can have deep and meaningful fellowship. That is what makes our partnership more than just a superficial friendship. Makes it more than that. God's Spirit in us makes it more than a superficial friendship. Now, there's nothing wrong, of course, with being and having friends. We all are and have friends. It's a good thing, you know, to be neighborly and to have friends. But fellowship is more than that. Fellowship is more than that. So it's good to have neighbors, to help out the neighbors and do things together, our friend, have our friends, relatives, to do those things. Our fellowship, our partnership, our communication, our sharing is in the light of the Father and His Son, as we read here in 1 John chapter 1. So our fellowship is, and with one another, is much deeper than just a superficial friendship. We have more than that, and there's a lot more depth to it than that. So with that background, let's consider five elements of friendship. Five things that we can, you know, Mr. Haney talked about tips. I thought that was a, a good way of putting it. Five elements. I use the word five elements. Interesting. He used Romans chapter 12, and I appreciated that, and have been working on a series of sermons on Romans chapter 12, and so he stepped all over me. No, I'm kidding. There are other things that we can, and other perspectives on those things that we can look at. I think we've given two messages, and I'm working on a third one here to come sometime later, and maybe a fourth one on the book of Romans chapter 12. The first element that I have is found in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9. Galatians 2 and verse 9. It says, "And when James, Cephas, or Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand," the right hand of fellowship, "that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised." The right hand of fellowship. I'd like us, this first element, to consider how we greet one another. How we greet one another. Certainly part of our fellowshipping here is how we greet one another. I had a phone conversation the other day, and somebody came on, and we chatted very briefly. Somebody I know pretty well, and we chatted very briefly, and we hung up, and I thought, you know, I never even said hello to him, I don't think. And I thought later, you know, I was focused on what we were talking about, and I don't know that I even said hello, how are you? Sometimes, you know, we come to services, and this is a little pet peeve of mine, and it is more an indictment of me than any of you, obviously, but sometimes we so casually say, "How are you?" Do we really, is it just something we say? I catch myself all the time just saying, how you doing? And then thinking about the next thing I'm going to say, and not even necessarily listening to someone, to how are they doing? How's their week going? And we come to services here, and we greet each other, and we have conversations, and we have those conversations. And sometimes some of those standard greeting type words can be a little bit meaningless. And again, I'm talking to myself more than any of you. And we need to have a genuine interest when we say those things, and I tell myself that from time to time, that I need to have a genuine interest. Do we give consideration to that? Do we give consideration to how we greet one another? How we greet one another? And again, I'm speaking to myself more than anyone here. How do we greet each other? Do we greet each other in the manner and in the way that we should? And do we give consideration when we do have those conversations? Second element, Acts chapter 2. Second element, I don't want to overstate those things, but again, those are things that I oftentimes will ask myself. And sometimes, some of these things, as Mr. Wetson used to tell us years ago, when we preach to you, we're also preaching to ourselves first. And sometimes these things are things that we all work on and need to learn, and then we prepare messages and pass them along to all of you. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, second element, "And those who gladly received the word were baptized that day. About 3,000 souls were added to them." Imagine that. I always imagine the logistics of that. 3,000 people being baptized. I don't know. Maybe they did multiple multiple baptisms. I don't know, but it's always interesting to imagine how that might have worked. Verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." And the point, the element here is share your things, that we share our things, that we share our things, that we share what we have with others. Giving would be another way to put it, or sharing. You know, do we create, we do, don't we? We create opportunities to share and to give. It's part of our fellowshipping that we create opportunities to. Now I know for a fact, because it's happened to me, when if I come to your house in the morning, you're going to have a cup of coffee there waiting for me. It's just the way it is. We do that with one another. We share and we give in that way, don't we? And there are many ways that we can give and that we can share. You know, some people are really good at sending out cards, aren't they? Some people are very good at that, at sending out cards and helping. It's helpful and encouraging. Sending out encouraging cards. Some people are very good at making that necessary phone call just at the right time. We do those things, don't we? I know that, we had a death in the family this past week. Now, it's not from here, but Don Pavlik died. I think everybody got that message, Don and I had known each other, but we weren't, you know, close friends or pals or anything, but had known him for many, many years. And there's a widow that needs our encouragement, needs our prayers. And with the announcement that was sent out, there was an address. And it would be helpful, you know, and I'm sure many of us did. Sent out a little card of encouragement to Joe Pavlik. I just use that as an example, but it's a way of sharing and of giving, as we read here, of fellowshipping and breaking of bread and prayers. We pray for one another. We fellowship in that way. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And verse 2, Galatians 6 and verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens." Bear one another's burdens. We share and fellowship in that way, don't we? We share, we are partakers of, partners, where we share one another's or bear, as it says here, one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, that we bear one another's burden. Verse 10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity," as we have opportunity. And I think the important factor is there sometimes we make opportunity. Sometimes we make opportunity. "As we have opportunity, let us do good to all." So, yes, we do good to our neighbors, our friends, our relatives. And then Paul said, especially, he distinguished here, didn't he? He distinguished. He said, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So we, brethren, fellowship with one another, we bear one another's burdens. We help each other out, we encourage each other, we give to one another, and we share, don't we? We share, it's what we do. Third element, another element that I have, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 says, I'm sorry, verse 16. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 says, then those who feared the Lord, it's you and I. You know, we go to the feast to learn to fear God, don't we? We hear that message every year. Those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. Spoke to one another. Make opportunities to communicate. Make opportunities to communicate. And, you know, we used to teach our kids and make them say, in the morning, we used to have them say, you know, the old, have a good day, and, you probably have heard me say this numerous times, make it a good day for others. Make it a good day for others. So we have opportunities. Let's communicate with each other. Let's, again, that phone call, that card. We had an article, 10 things to say to make someone's day. 10 things to say to make someone's day. I'll just go through them real quickly. But you might, if something particularly piques your interest, you might write it down. But 10 things to say to make someone's day. Number one, let me know if you ever need to talk. Sometimes that can make someone's day. Or number two, you've made progress. That might make someone's day. Sometimes that can make someone's day. Number three, you're not alone. That's a big one for us, isn't it? We're not alone. We're not in this thing alone. We have each other. We have each other's back. Number four, I really admire you for dot, dot, dot. Sometimes that can make someone's day, whatever that might be. Number five, the present is not the future. That's a kind of a deep thinking one there. The present is not the future. Number six, you're not a failure. Sometimes we can feel like it, but you're not a failure. Number seven, I want to help in any way I can. Make someone's day. Number eight, there are solutions. Everything has a solution. Sometimes, you know, we can look at things and see a problem, but there are solutions. Number nine, you did really well. Sometimes that can make someone's day. You did really well. Number 10, you are a special person. You're a special person. Sometimes, I read an article that had those 10 things to say to make someone's day, and I thought it was interesting, and some things that can be helpful. Some things that can be helpful and encouraging to us and make our day or make someone's day. Element number four, Romans chapter 12 and verse 8. So Dr. Haney went to Romans chapter 12 as kind of the background for his message. I'm going to go to an earlier verse, Romans chapter 12, and as I said, I've got another message that I'm working on in regards to some of these practical things that we read here in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 8 says, he who exhorts in exhortation. He who exhorts in exhortation. Now we covered this in a message a couple of months ago, this word exhortation. Sometimes we do need to exhort one another. To exhort, of course, means to make an urgent appeal or to encourage. To encourage. And it's helpful, and part of us in our fellowshipping, and one of the elements of fellowshipping is to encourage each other. Sometimes we can get into a mindset that is a little bit inward. I know I do at times, and I bring my problems rather than to try and help others and encourage others with theirs. Sometimes that can happen in our lives. So we need to learn to be encouragers. We need to focus on that a little bit and to make sure, and I would give us all a goal on the Sabbath day, that we come every Sabbath with the goal of encouraging someone for something. Encourage someone. Come to Sabbath services today, next Sabbath, that we come, we share, we talk about our week, we talk about the ups and downs. Come with a goal of encouraging someone for something. And I think it'll help us all to be encouragers, to use this scripture here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, he who exhorts in exhortation, that we exhort one another, that we encourage each other, that we lift each other up. Make that a goal, to lift each other up. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, it says, let us consider one another. Consider one another. So when we come together on the Sabbath day, we consider each other. And consider our circumstances, our situations. All of us come from vastly different circumstances and situations. Some of us are young, and some of us were born a long time ago. And some of us, you know, are in between. We're all different circumstances and situations, aren't we? We're all in that way different. So let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So we're to stir that up in each other. Consider one another. Come to services with an encouraging word for someone who may be in a difficult situation. Stir up love and good works. And then the writer of Hebrews here goes on to say, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, as is the manner of some. So we're again encouraged to assemble together. We talked about that earlier as a holy convocation. But exhorting one another. Again, using that word, that meaning of encouraging one another. And so much more, as you see the day approaching. So much more as you see the day approaching. You know, brethren, we've got some, we're going to get together with the Meadville Church here shortly as a congregation, and we're going to have one congregation here between the two of us, wherever we decide to do that and meet. I think that's all yet to be confirmed and decided. I guess I would encourage us to be encouraging to them, to make sure that they feel invited in, to be a part of us. They're a part of us anyway. We had a discussion. I don't know if I may have mentioned this to you before. We had a discussion with them a month or two ago when I spoke over in Meadville one Sabbath, and we were just talking about a couple of different things and what are some of the things that might work and how we might want to do this. And, you know, one of the things that was mentioned was that I think one of the concerns they have is they kind of feel like they might get swallowed up by us. And that's not our intention and our goal by any means, to swallow them up. And I told them, you know, look, when United Church of God first started and we got together, they used to come over here every Sabbath with us. So we know them and we've gotten together with them, and everybody there, there's nobody there that we don't know. And all of us know each other. And they used to come here for services, and I told them, look, my position would be, and our position would be, they left and went up and started a congregation up there, and now they're just coming home. They're coming home to be a part of us, and I guess I would encourage us, and I know we will. I know we will, because as brethren, we're just like that. But I think one of the concerns they have is that they'll just kind of get swallowed up, or some have expressed that they'll just kind of get swallowed up. They'll take our seats and they'll do various things. I don't know how they're going to do that, but they're going to do various things, and we'll just kind of swallow them up. I guess I would encourage us all to just be sensitive to that, to recognize, to consider. As we read here in verse 24, let us consider one another. Let us consider one another to make sure that we make them a part of us. And there are only 10 or 12 of them going to services there on a regular basis. Sometimes the Krogers come, sometimes they don't. When they go to different places, sometimes they come here. They make a big difference because there are about five or six of them, so they can make a big difference when there's 10 or 12 only beside them. So let's make sure that I'm just trying to encourage us, and I know we will, that we make them feel very welcome and a part of us. Element number five, go over real quickly here. I wanted to keep this at about 45 minutes today, so I'm going a little longer than that. Number five, 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. Part of fellowshipping. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9 simply says, be hospitable to one another. Be hospitable to one another. Again, that's something that all of us in this room are good at. Are good at. We have a lot to share and to be hospitable. So hospitality is an important element of fellowship, that we're hospitable and in that way. And there are various ways to do that. Romans chapter 12, be hospitable to one another, as it says here in verse 9, without grumbling. Romans, again, back to Romans chapter 12, seems like that's a popular chapter today for us. Romans chapter 12, and we'll read verse 9 through 13. Again, we'll cover this, some of this, in a more focused way in the future, but verse 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. We did give a message on abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Verse 11 says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving in the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. or the margin says pursuing hospitality, given to hospitality. That we're hospitable to one another. Now, there are various ways we can do that. There are a number of ways. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2, I'll just give you as a reference, talks about entertaining angels unaware. But the focus there for this message would be to entertain. That we entertain each other. Now, that's one way to do it. We can entertain in our homes and have people in our homes and make a plan to do that. Might be a good plan to make a plan to try and have everybody over, if that's what you can and want to do. Now, again, some people that's not practical, and some people it's not practical to have people in our homes, and that's understandable as well. It doesn't work for everybody. For some it does, for some it doesn't. But there are a variety of ways that we can be hospitable to one another. We might ask somebody to lunch after services, or we might ask somebody to get together and do something, play games, go to the movies, go bowling, variety of things. That can be part of being hospitable as well. If it's not practical for us to have people in, and it isn't for some of us, and that's okay, but there are other ways to be hospitable, to be inclusive, to be partners, to be partakers, to get together. There are other ways to do that. And those are just some thoughts in terms of being able to be hospitable. So, brethren, we have these five elements that we considering how we greet one another, and that we share, and that we give, and that we converse, and that we encourage, and that we're hospitable. Five elements that we've covered of fellowship. So let's fellowship. Let's turn back to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9. We'll begin reading in verse 9. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9. Two are better than one. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. Verse 10 says, "For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. We lift each other up. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up." We're blessed, aren't we? Because we have each other to help each other up. Verse 11 says, again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Three is even better. So let's share. Let's be partners. Let's communicate. Let's fellowship with God and with Jesus Christ and with one another.